Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
This is the Steve Jones Show. Steve on vacation this week, so you're stuck with me. Doug Birdsong also joining us from the Bison Sports Network. Talked a little Bucknell Bison last hour. Dave Ritchie of the 100.9 The Valley broadcast of Lewisburg football joining us in this half hour and this hour as well as we continue our little preview of high school football here in the Central Susquehanna Valley. A little bit under a week now until the official start of high school football practices, which will be on Monday. Although, as we mentioned earlier yesterday, the PIAA instituting a new rule called heat acclimations. And it's a good thing, not a bad thing, but it's been a little bit controversial to a point. Instead of doing the heat acclimations in the 2 weeks prior to the first game or the 2 weeks prior to the first practice week before the game, I'll put it that way, the PIAA has opened the door to being able to start tomorrow. So technically, practices, even though contact can't happen any earlier than normal, you can have pads and workouts, organized workouts, we'll put it that way, with this heat acclimation drill on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Again, a good thing. I believe the number I saw was 45 deaths since 1995 due to heat-related issues. And Dave, being a player and being a coach all those years, I mean, our thoughts, and we were talking with Bob Buhner yesterday, our thoughts on how to handle the heat have really, really changed over the last even 10 years from being more cautious in giving water breaks for fear of, you know, stomach cramps, to now giving more water breaks than we had before and changing the way practices are organized here in the summer.
Well, Kevin, I can remember that you weren't allowed to take a drink of water in football practice years ago, and then they gave you one of those salt tablets, which was the worst thing in the world that you could do. I have noticed, though, towards the end of when I was coaching, that the trainer had a sling cyclometer that would measure the humidity. And, you know, the coaches basically would look at that, and I think the humidity is worse than the heat, and because you lose so much water, body water, and they just don't want kids to get hurt anymore. It's a contact sport. It's a violent sport. You certainly don't want to have the effect of weather, you know, coming and causing kids to, you know, to get hurt. And some, you know, a death is a horrible thing. I mean, my gosh. To lose a child in a sport is a catastrophe, and we're very much aware of that now.
Well, as I said, a lot of these schools are starting their heat acclimations tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. And the way the PIAA has it set up, you have to attend all three in order. So if you skip one, you have to go back to the beginning and start all over again. Well, this is going to be very interesting because looking at the AccuWeather forecast, a couple of thunderstorms tomorrow, showers and a heavier thunderstorm on Thursday, showers and a heavier thunderstorm on Friday. That's not necessarily the best forecast leading up to the first full week of practice where temperatures will actually be barely 80.
Well, you know, Kevin, most of the schools run summer programs and help the kids get acclimated to the humidity, helps the body get used to it. You know, you talk about wearing pads and helmets. I know we have 7-on-7 passing scrimmages. They have competitions for the linemen now in high school. And I think the kids get out. I know at Shikellamy, you know, our trainer, Mike Elder, runs programs for the kids if they show up to help them better stand up to the heat and, you know, get them in shape before they get out there. That's the main thing, is to get yourself you know, get your body ready to play, and not just the sport, but be able to play in conditions where your body is taxed by that heat and humidity.
And too, Dave, isn't it a situation where, and it happens whether it's at the pro level or the college level or at the high school level, where it's up to the individual, that student athlete, to be able to hydrate themselves as well. It's certainly, yes, you have to get acclimated to the heat and being outdoor, and certainly in the last 25, 30 years, the people in this country are more used to sitting in front of air conditioning like we are now in the studio, but you also have to hydrate. So it also behooves you to take part in that, not just the trainer, not just the coach, right?
And the generations that have passed my generation are water drinkers, and I think that's a good thing. You watch most student athletes after practice. Yeah, they have their Gatorades and that, but you'll see most of them carrying water around. And that's a very good point, Doug. Sometimes I don't think we realize the importance of hydration. Just to make yourself perform better, but to feel better too.
Right. Doug, how do they handle it at the college level? I know with Bucknell, Mark Kepler does a great job with his training staff. At high school, you're lucky to have a trainer and maybe a staff of, if you're lucky, one other person. But how is it different from the high school level to the college level and how they handle it?
Well, I think just, sheer numbers. Mark Kepler does have a staff who helps out, but they obviously weigh after every practice to make sure, particularly in the summer months, to make sure you're not losing too much weight. And then also there is in our case, Powerade, there is a regimented level where you, and it's up to you too. I mean, they tell you, but it's up to you as the student athlete. You have to drink X amount for your body weight, and that's for the whole week leading up to a game. You can't just hope that Friday night you can just start pumping in Powerade or whatever and that you're going to be okay for that next game. You're going to cramp if you don't do it the whole week prior to it. It's a continual process.
Well, that's one of the things that's going on at least this week. Many of the schools have taken advantage of the extra 3 days to be able to do that. It's a gradual process, in case you weren't with us yesterday. The gradual process starts with helmets on the first day, then what they call tops, helmets and shoulder pads, and then you work your way to full pads to get the kids acclimated to the heat situation. Unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, because in this neck of the woods, the weather changes every 5 minutes, but it's actually going to be a rather comfortable week next week in the way it looks for the start of practices with temperatures in the 80s, and it appears to be low humidity. But Dave, you know better than anybody, being out on Friday nights, not only from broadcasting, but playing and coaching, the weather in September can be very August-like, too, for the first couple of weeks of the season.
Sure. I remember the first game last year. Lewisburg had to travel up to Towanda. And I know Todd Homo and I were sitting in the broadcast booth, and we just looked at each other, and the perspiration was just, dripping off of us. And all we were doing was broadcasting the game. And those poor guys were out there at 7 o'clock in full gear and on turf. So it had to gathered up all the heat of the day, and you could tell, because there were a lot of times you saw kids just got gassed. That was it. They were, you could tell that, take them out of the game, get them hydrated, and give them a rest. And starting at 7, and we've done that for years. The games used to start at 8 o'clock. You might not think an hour makes a lot of difference, but in the fall it might. But September can be deadly, all right, with the heat.
Steve Jones Show from the Sunbury Motors Studio East. Doug Birdsong from the Bison Sports Network, my guest, along with Dave Ritchie from 100.9 The Valley and Lewisburg Football. We appreciate those guys for coming in today, filling in for the vacationing Steve Jones. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show sponsored by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Also, information about standing together with Kratzer Insurance online at kratzerinsurance.com. Well, let's get into a little high school football, a little more detail. Chief, I'm sorry, it's not basketball season.
You can
yet.
Listen. You can call, and I apologize for my phone going off in the room.
No, it's a great ringtone, by the way.
Yeah, well, guess what? If in 36 years of education, the last 10 years were the worst because I had to make sure the kids didn't have their cell phones turned on in class. So this isn't math class, but it's as important as math class, and I apologize for my phone going off.
Dave Ritchie, as I said, on the broadcast with Todd Hummel, as he mentioned, of Lewisburg football on 100.9 The Valley. And Lewisburg last year with a nice little run in the playoffs and kind of, couldn't quite get past Montoursville. Montoursville making a comeback in the at the end of that game. That game was at Bucknell too, wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. At Bucknell, and just ran into a team that just rallied past him in Montoursville. But Dave, the Double A in District 4 alone, I'm not talking about the conference, but District 4 alone is amazingly difficult.
Well, that's why the championship game of District 4 Double A is the first round of states. There are that many teams in this district that are Double A, and they always have a full boat, eight, and you win the championship game, you're already in the quarterfinals of states. So it's a very, very competitive and very, very it's a great place to go. So watch a Double A football game. There's a lot of great schools there.
Well, you're looking at Lewisburg. You have Danville, that's the District 4 now defending champ again. Lewisburg, Danville, Montoursville, Mount Carmel, Central Columbia. I mean, those are the ones that come to mind right away that were in the playoffs, and I know. And then you have the Northern Tier. You have the Towandas, and
well, don't forget, if I'm not mistaken, the Northern Tier always has two or three teams,
right,
like you said, and you never know how they have what their schedule is like, but they always have somebody that's a higher seed. Towanda, Lewisburg has basically handled Towanda over the last 4 years. Every time I think they've played, they've beaten them, and there's been some good games, but Lewisburg has had Towanda's number.
Dave, when you look at this team under the direction of Jeremy Wynn here, actually getting a full season now under his belt at Lewisburg, what has he done and with the talent that he has, how has he morphed around that? And I remember talking to him last year, and one of the things he said was that I have to change my mindset a little bit with what we have at Lewisburg now. Although a lot of the stuff that he's done in the past as a coach, he can do at Lewisburg. How did he change anything in his style this last year to adjust to the players he had in Lewisburg?
Well, I don't think it's as much as he changed his style. This is his sophomore season, and he replaced Todd Tilford. And Todd Tilford and Jeremy Wynn have two different styles of how they handle kids. And I think the kids from Lewisburg now will finally, have forgotten about Todd Tilford and will look at Jeremy Wynn and be able to react and play for him. He tweaked the wing tee. I know that he did that. He threw the ball. I know Todd threw the ball a lot for when he was there. But he threw the ball more than I had expected him to, especially with the very good offensive line that he had. Defensive-wise, I know that he ran a 3-5. And he still, he had five really good linebackers, quick kids back there, anchored by Brandon Smith. And I think that helped the transition because they were used to playing that defense. I think just the way you handle your practices, I know sometimes Todd would only go out for an hour. And I know coaches that if you're not out 2.5 hours, you haven't done your job. I think, getting the players used and buying into his system, this should be a better year for him because it's his second year there. And, kids know what to expect. And that's something that is, I know from playing and I know from coaching that you have expectations. And you can't always look at who was there before Jeremy Wynn. You have to look at Jeremy Wynn. And I think this second year, Jeremy will be a lot, I don't want to use the word be more successful, but I think he'll be able to install his brand of football better.
Dave, when you look at the team that's coming back now, one missing link in that Lewisburg offense has to stand out a little bit.
Well, Brandon Smith, I had the privilege of going to Lewisburg football when Brandon was a freshman. And I taught school with his mother and knew his dad. And I've never been around or watched a kid that I would say is the best football player I've ever seen play. And we were just talking here. You guys were talking about scholarships, getting full scholarships. Brandon's gone to Penn State as a walk-in, a preferred walk-in. And he, to me, is one of the best players to come out of this valley in a long time. He's definitely going to be missed. I know the game against Shikellamy, if Lewisburg did not have Brandon Smith, they would have not beat Shikellamy that night. I'm not saying that because I'm using it as an excuse for Shikellamy, but I think that's a fact. He is a game winner. He's a playmaker. And, it's almost like, okay, we need somebody to pick up a fumble and run 60 yards with it. We need somebody to intercept a flat a pass thrown to the flat and go for a touchdown. We need a big tackle, or we need our fullback to come off of a block and go 70 yards. Brandon did that stuff, and they're not going to have that this year. That's going to be something that they'll definitely miss.
Interesting. Todd Benner at Selins Grove High School was talking with my boss at Bucknell, Todd Newcomb, and his son Drew is going to be moving to the running back slot. So you're going to lose some experience there. Certainly Drew has some speed, but with the offensive line having graduated for the most part at Lewisburg, that's probably going to be, as much as anything, the biggest question mark.
Yeah, you know, Merle Mascarello was a terrific running back. I can still remember him dragging a kid from Southern for the final 10 yards of a 90-yard run, holding onto his jersey, dragging him into the end zone. Merle had that offensive line. He also had Brandon Smith blocking at fullback for him, too, or, you know, a halfback at times, or at tight end. I mean, he just did all of that. And, Doug, one of the things I wrote down that gone is that offensive line. Kyle Santorine played 4 years as the center. He was like the general out there with that offensive line. Now, there were, you know, the left guard might have been different from time to time, or the right tackle. They might have a different tight end. But he was an anchor, and he's not there. And, you know, I if you watch good offensive lines, there's always one player that takes control, and they're a family. And I think that that's going to be the one thing that they're going to have trouble with.
I was actually talking with Kyle. He was at Bucknell along with Travis Conrad, and Travis was getting ready for the basketball season down at Lebanon Valley. Kyle, though, looking forward to his first year at Dickinson, and I think he's going to get a good opportunity to maybe get some playing time there.
Yeah, Dickinson Division III football. My daughter graduated from Dickinson. She played basketball there, and I used to, you know, you go to those football games, and kids are there because they want to be there. And that really is something to behold. It's like Susquehanna, you know. They're there because they enjoy. Or look at Bucknell. I mean, you don't give scholarships, and you know, you're there because you want to play football and you want to get a good education. And all three of those schools I just mentioned are excellent institutes.
Dave, when you look at the AA bracket right from last year, Loyal Sauk, Danville, Mount Carmel, Central Columbia, Montoursville, Lewisburg, Troy, and Athens. Right. Yeah. Troy and Athens are the only two teams that are not in the Heartland Conference Division II. And by the way, the other team that's missing that's in the Division II just happens to be Southern Columbia, who's in the single-A District 4 playoffs.
Yeah.
Every single team in Division II made the playoffs last year. That's how competitive that part of the Heartland Conference is. And I don't see a whole lot changing this year.
Now, how would you like to be 9-1 and be a 4 seed?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, and or be it worse yet, be a 5 seed. You know, it's those things happen. And that's just the I don't want to say it's parity of the district, but I think it's a lot of talent. Lewisburg has really blossomed over the last 4 or 5 years. I marvel at that school. What do they have? 100 kids in a class. And you look at the size, the commitment, and the numbers on their teams, and they're there. You look at their cross-country team, there's 30 kids. You look at girls' soccer, boys' soccer, they're full. The football team, I like to see at halftime, some of the football players actually were playing instruments in the band. And, you know, I mean, it's just a great school, and it's not just that they do one sport, they do multiple sports. Brandon Smith was a three-sport athlete. And I think you get that more at the double-A school. I'm not Steve Jones, I don't have the photographic memory about reading statistics.
It's all right, I feel more comfortable.
Yeah, but I look at the participation and it's excellent.
You know what I've always said about Steve? He could tell you the left guard from 1968, his grade point average, his major, and who his girlfriend was in his junior year.
There's only one other person that I ever met that was like Steve Jones that could tell you those facts, and that was Coach George Curry from Berwick. I was just amazed of the stuff that he would pull out of the back of his head if you just mentioned, for example, like 1971, a certain game. And he was great at it. Now, he couldn't tell you the seating capacity of all the bowl games like Steve Jones could, but he came close.
Yeah, Dave, I have to ask you this. You've been in this area for so many years, not calling you old or anything, but
I'm old.
Have you seen a program like Lewisburg that has dramatically increased its football level in terms of playing ability like Lewisburg has, you know, most of the teams you mentioned from that Kevin mentioned from the Heartland Conference have had years of winning. You know, their tradition had been built. Have you ever seen a team like Lewisburg that has sprung up like they have?
Yes, I have, and I'm going to tell you who it is. The first coach to take them to a Southern Division championship was Andy Ulickney in that Southern area. Southern Columbia used to be at the bottom. They were always at the bottom of the league, and Andy Ulickney took them, and then of course Jim Roth. It's all history from there. They've continued that tradition. They lose two games, it's a down year for them. They don't get to the state finals, or at least get to the Eastern finals. It's not successful. But Lewisburg has been a pleasant surprise for me. You know, you look at the Mount Carmel's always had winning traditions. All right, Central Columbia, they've had their ups and downs. I know that's Kevin's alma mater, all right, but they've had their ups or downs from time to time. I thought Bloomsburg had a great run there, and I'm sorry. All I can think about is the assistant coach, Dave Fortunato's name. I can't remember the head coach. Can you help me out, Kevin?
No. Right now I can't either, now that you put me on the spot.
I apologize, because he's one whale of a coach. Now he resigned after this year. But that program has really come around. But Lewisburg, I know over the years they've had some good teams. Jim Wetzel did a great job of coaching for years, and they've been in and out, but Todd Tilford brought them along, and basically he had four or five great years there.
And when we come back, we'll talk about Todd Tilford and the Shikellamee Braves with Dave Ritchie as well, so stay in the studio with us. From the Sunbury Motor Studio, Doug Birdsong, Dave Ritchie, Kevin Herr, filling in for it takes three of us to fill in for Steve Jones. That's how good he is. All right, I had to throw that in there just in case he listens to the podcast, and I can keep my job for next week. We'll have more coming up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
Coming up later this week on the Steve Jones Show, as Steve continues vacation, we'll have some best of Penn State interviews, best of interviews in general. And tomorrow, well, we're going to do best of sports commentators as well as writers. It'll be Dan Baker, who actually is considered a sports commentator, even though he's a public address announcer for the Eagles and Phillies. Done quite a few games in the Philadelphia area basketball season. Kevin Kugler, Tim Doyle from the Big Ten Network, and Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle. We'll have all those in the Best of Steve Jones coming up tomorrow as we go Best of Steve Jones here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show is sponsored by our fine friends at Kratzer Insurance. Find out what they have and what they can do to help you out with their offices in Northumberland and Mount Pleasant Mills. You can find them online at KratzerInsurance.com. Doug Birdsong in the Sunbury Motors studio, along with my good friend. Well, not that Doug's not my good friend, but, you know. It's just
sometimes if you're owed money, you know. Then
yeah, that's true, yeah. Then you are my really good friend, as a matter of fact. Dave Ritchie also in to talk a little high school football today. Hey, one thing I forgot to mention, Doug, I understand that you know a lot about a recent report that came out today on college partying, and you're very familiar with the partying that was done at West Virginia for all those Marshall West Virginia games that you attended over the years.
Well, put it this way: if there was a lot of partying, and there normally is between WVU and Marshall, it probably favored the Mountaineers, as it did every time they met on the gridiron.
We talked a little high school football a few minutes ago. We'll get back to that and talk a little bit about the Shikellamee Braves, too. We've been trying to catch up with Coach Todd Tilford, who's just coming back from a little bit of R&R and just kind of getting himself squared away now with, as we said, the heat acclimation practices starting tomorrow and regular practices on Monday. But let's switch gears just a little bit, Doug, and talk about an interview that we're going to have on the Best of Steve Jones Show with Coach Dave Paulson and Mike Muscala right after Mike was drafted. Eventually by the Atlanta Hawks and had an opportunity to kind of show what he was able to do in the summer league. Now he's going to be going on into Spain and playing a year there, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's not going to ever play in the NBA. This is just something that happens quite a bit for second-round picks.
Well, exactly. I mean, a second-round pick, no guaranteed money there. Certainly the team that drafts you does hold your rights for another year, so the Hawks will have Mike Muscala as their draft, if you will, all the way through next year. So yeah, he could not go to another place without some compensation to the Hawks. But yes, no, you know, when Buchdell played in Italy a few summers ago, and Mike obviously was on that team, it was amazing to watch some of the pro teams and some of the folks, particularly in a couple of the different venues where Buchdell played, almost salivating to see Mike Muscala over there, because he certainly at that time, and even now after his senior year was through last year at Bucknell, his game fits the European model. Finesse, can shoot all around the court, can drive. Very many of the things that he could do, that Mike could do, you saw in the Olympics when the Bucknell, or when the U.S. A team would take on a Spain, or would take on a team from Italy, or a team from Germany, or whatever the case may be. Portugal, wherever, because that is European style basketball, and Mike certainly can play that style.
But with some of the Hawks, some of the moves that the Hawks made recently, it was really not a need for them all of a sudden for Mike and his situation. However, when they drafted him, it looked as if it was a really good fit, and Mike felt that it was going to be a good fit because they had really talked to him and Coach Paulson, a lot of the other coaches on the staff as well, in prior to the draft. Then Mike went out to Vegas and played in the summer league there. I mean, he didn't put up stellar numbers, but he put up numbers that you would expect Mike to put up. What do you think is going, you know, what made his decision to play in Spain, do you think? Is it mainly because he's felt that that's a good fit for him right now, or maybe the coaches there said, hey, we think we can bring you to the next step? Or,
well, I had an email exchange with his dad, Bob Muscala, and I haven't spoken with Mike, but Bob, I think basically he was pleased from his perspective, because you can either wait until September, wait until training camp begins, and see whether you are indeed in the plans of the Atlanta Hawks. And if not, they would probably relegate you to the D-League, where for the most part, particularly in the case of Mike, where he's a second-round pick, the highest anyone's being paid that isn't a first round that's been sent down for whatever reason would be about $25,000 a year. I can almost promise you he's making a lot more than that in Spain, tax-free. You know,
that's the big part. Right?
That is a very big part. And he also is going to get an opportunity to show his wares. He'll probably start for a very good team in Spain. And one of the things that Bob, Mike's dad, sent me in an email here, exchange that I had, is that he found out that Mike's team is going to play its first exhibition game September 18th. They're going to take on Paris, or the French League champ in Paris, and the French League champ from a year ago. So, I mean, think about that. You're in Spain for your regular season games, but you get to go to Paris, France as well.
It's terrible.
It's a great,
that's it's terrible.
Just, it's a tough life, isn't it?
You know, this is I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the first draft where two Patriot League players have come out of the draft. I haven't heard a ton from what's going on with C.J. McCollum. Can you update anything on there that you might know of, Doug?
Oh, I definitely think that C.J. is going to be in the regular rotation for the Trailblazers. You know, they have Lillard over there. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back him up, but then to also maybe at times play in the same backcourt with him. The question is going to be, who's going to be the true point guard there? Lillard certainly played some point last year, but had a lot of maturing that he had to do at that position. Same with C.J. He has played point, you know, even last year at Lehigh. He can play the point guard position, but he's known as a scorer. And certainly that's not to say that point guards can't score. They can score in the NBA as well as college, whatever. But it'll be interesting to see how he matures in that role, because that's for the most part what he's probably going to be playing. But I definitely think he's going to get a lot of playing time. And you mentioned about Mike in the summer league. I thought he put up great numbers considering he didn't get to play much of his last game because he had a little injury, nothing major, but he also only averaged about 19 minutes a game. That's, you know,
yeah, and that's something that's part of the stat that you didn't normally see. I mean, you saw, I think it was 6.8 points a game, as I recall, although I'm not exactly sure about that. But again, the minutes, what you can do per minute.
Right.
That's the breakdown that I'm sure a lot of people, don't get a chance to look at. What does it say, though, about not only the Patriot League, but these mid-majors, when you can come out with players that can make an impact in the NBA? I mean, is it parity in college basketball, or is it the fact that these, and I know a lot of people hate the term mid-major, but is it the mid-majors starting to learn how to build their team to be more competitive with some of the bigger schools in NCAA basketball?
Well, I think the biggest change was the NBA rule that they kind of agreed with the coaches of the NCAA and presidents, et cetera, the NCAA institutions, to allow the instead of taking directly from high school, to allow some of these players to stay. Well, yeah, all the players that want to, but they have to play at least 1 year of college basketball. However, schools such as Bucknell, schools such as North Dakota State, schools such as Butler, even for the most part, they're going to keep these players in for 4 years, possibly five if they redshirt. And I think that maturity helps a Mike Muscala, helps a C.J. McCollum, helps a Nate Walters from South Dakota State, to be able to get some experience that helps offset the tremendous athletic advantage that some of these other players have that play for 1 year, like a John Wall, a Cousins at Kentucky, almost anybody at Kentucky, it seems, and then go on to the NBA.
What about Dave Paulson and the Bison this year? I know it's really early to start looking ahead, but I know he's been working, they've been doing some workouts as the summer's gone on. What have you been able to find out about the Bucknell basketball program for the coming season?
I think it's going to be a very exciting year. A lot of people are, in fact, we were just discussing as we were traveling down to the Patriot League Football Media Day last Wednesday with some of the area writers from the area newspapers, and they were kind of decrying the fact that Bucknell may not be very good. I can't say, and I don't think anybody at the Bucknell basketball office would say they're going to win 28 games like they did last year's school record. I can say, deep down in my heart, this is going to be a very interesting an exciting team. They aren't going to feed the post as much as they did with Mike. You had to feed the post when you had somebody with his talent, but it probably is going to be a team that is, if it makes the NCAA, a team that can pull off the upset. You need good guards to be able to pull off the upset in the NCAA tournament. Not saying the Bucknell didn't have good guards. I think with the combination of guard play, some of it not super experienced, but I think with the combination of guard play that the Bison will have next year, I think you could see some of that excitement that, you hate to say it, but when you keep throwing the ball into the post, it's just not as exciting as seeing bombs away and a few bingos here and there.
That's right. That's exactly right. One of the things you can't say about Bucknell basketball is that the non-league schedule isn't challenging.
No, and again, this year, no different. Penn State, I think Coach Chambers is doing a great job with that program. They're going to be tough. Bucknell's going to be over at the Bryce again this year, and Bucknell's going to start the season at Stanford. Their program has certainly been on the rise, and even though they had a little bit of a down year last year, they won the NIT 2 years ago. They also play at St. John's in New York City. While they won't be playing at the Garden, Madison Square Garden, they'll still be playing in New York City. And then they have a whole host of other good teams that they'll be facing. And, of course, the addition of Boston University and Loyola University of Maryland into the Patriot League. It'll be a very difficult schedule.
Doug Birdsong joining us in the Sunbury Motors studio today. And we'll have Dave Ritchie come back in here in just a few minutes in our final segment, talking a little more high school football as we get ready for both the high school and college football season in what is my favorite month of the year, August. It's News Radio 1070 WKOK and the Steve Jones Show.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Let the sizzle and summer sales event get you fired up with a 2011 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan with a new set of tires, $12,491. 2005 Dodge Dakota four-door quad cab, $12,995. 2008 Honda Accord four-door LX, $13,998. 2009 Dodge Journey four-wheel drive SXT, $14,995. $9.95. 2011 Ford Escape, four-wheel drive XLT, $16,994. 2010 Ford Explorer, Eddie Bauer Edition, $24,995. and a like-new 2012 Ford F-150 XLT, just $33,000.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Shopping for insurance to save money is not an easy thing. What if I told you there's good news for Pennsylvania residents searching to save money on homeowners, auto insurance, RVs, motorcycles, and more? What if I told you you didn't have to sacrifice local personal service? Then call or visit online the Kratzer Insurance Agency in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, serving the area now for 50 years.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. We are proud to offer Safeco Insurance at a very competitive rate. Some customers have saved as much as 50% off their premium.
Safeco has been around since 1923, and in 2008 became part of the Liberty Mutual Insurance, a name well-known and trusted in the insurance industry. Start saving and be safe with Safeco and Kratzer Insurance.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones Show today sponsored by Kratzer Insurance in Northumberland and Mount Pleasant Mills. Talk to them about how they're going to stand together with you and make sure you're well covered and save money too. KratzerInsurance.com, the place to look online. Kevin Hur along with Doug Birdsong. Again, thanks, Doug, for spending some time with us, talking a little Bucknell football, basketball, and yeah, everything else that came along the line the last couple of days in the sports world.
I'm always happy to help prop you up, Kevin.
Well, somebody has to. And the guy who usually helps carry me along through the winter season, Dave Ritchie, who's also on the 100.9, the Valley broadcast of Lewisburg football. Talked a little bit of Lewisburg football earlier on. If you missed any of that, you can go onto our podcast, stevejonesshow.com, and click on that. But let's quickly take a look at the Shikellamy Braves here in this coming season. The Braves get their quarterback back that they lost at the end of the season last year, and that's Garrett Kemberling. And you know, one player does not make a team, but Dave, he adds so much to the offense and makes linebackers stay home because they're not sure if he's going to run the ball, if he's going to throw the ball, or exactly what he's going to do. His speed and ability really helped that offense last year. And with the loss of him, you could see it at the end of the year. The offense just didn't seem to be the same.
Oh, Garrett definitely is a key to their success. You don't take an athlete like he is off of a team without it affecting them. And, you know, he can make an offensive line that's not that experienced look very good. He's just that kind of athlete. He's big, he's strong. I know the basketball team missed him this year. ACL tear, tough one to come back from, but I know Garrett worked hard. And, you know, I've kind of watched him in the hallways of school. And, you know, when he went from no crutches to walking with the brace and then finally no brace, you could see things were starting to come around. And I remember him saying the first time he actually had a chance that he could, you know, actually use his knee without thinking about it. And that's a big key. Yeah. So Garrett's a big key. And, you know, they lost their other quarterback to an ACL tear in basketball season. Remember that, Kevin, up at Lock Haven? I don't know if you remember that or not, but he also tore his ACL. So both the first and second
I forgot about that.
Yeah, quarterbacks were down. I do want to – Kevin, can I go back to Lewisburg just for a second?
Okay, just for a second.
Well, first of all, Larry Soans is the coach of Bloomsburg. All right, it finally
right,
came to
you.
Me.
Yes,
all right,
there
and
you
I apologize
go.
To Larry because he's a phenomenal coach and did a great job at Bloomsburg. I don't know if I talked about Lewisburg with, but I think they do have strength in their quarterback this year. I think that's going to be good. And there's another Smith up there. His name is Luke. And if Luke's like Garrett Kemmerling's been injured, if he plays up to his health. He's another. I won't put him as same as Brandon Smith, but he's close. He can do a lot of things. So you know, there's a lot of ifs. I wish I actually could see the first week of practice for them. You know, I could give you a little bit more. Now back to Shikellamy, okay?
Well, one of the things that I think Shikellamy is going to be improved in this year is the defensive side of the ball. Last year, trying to install a new scheme, it really showed in that first week of the season against Mount Carmel the struggles of learning a new defensive scheme. And I think with Todd Tilford having now a full year under his belt, an opportunity to go over it a little further and make the tweaks based on player and personnel that he has is going to make a big difference in that defense.
Well, you know, if you're a lineman in the 3-5, you're really not supposed to make any tackles. And that's hard if you've been playing football your whole life, that you have to sacrifice yourself so those five linebackers can get all the hits. And that's something that's difficult for kids to grasp. But once they realize, you know, I just got killed by two guys, an offensive guard and center just double-teamed me right down. But it left two guys occupied and left the linebacker make a tackle. And I think once the kids learn that, that's like buying into the system, Kevin. You have to get ready. I think that you have to develop your on defense. Your five best athletes have to be those linebackers, and you got to find five. And I think Todd has a lot of numbers out there right now. I know that he had a very successful spring program, summer program. There's a lot of kids in the weight room, a lot of kids in conditioning. If he finds those five, they're going to be much improved.
I think a solid offensive line, too, is a big key for the Braves.
That's the big one, Kevin.
That's really big.
And that's my question mark right now. That's one of the things that Shikellamy has not had for a while, has been a very, very, like Lewisburg's offensive line last year. And it takes one or two players to anchor a good offensive line. But, boy, if you got five of them, you could run fullback in the wing tee and probably get 3 yards.
You'd have to have a real, I mean, we're talking Mack truck size hole, and that's just so I can get through it at one speed, not full speed.
Yeah. I don't know. Defensive wise, I'm optimistic. You don't like to play your quarterback on defense, but Shikellamy did last year.
When you have an athlete, and I'm not trying to play him up over anybody else, but give him his due. When you have an athlete like that, it's hard not to play him on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, his dad played quarterback for us back in the late 70s, and he had to wait his time, Gary Kemmerling. He had to wait till Lenny Deppen was done, and then Gary stepped in. And I remember the last couple games of the season, they left Gary play safety. And what a difference that made. Our quarterback was back at safety, too, so... You know, he comes from good stock. He's got the Trian blood, and he's got the Kemmerling blood. So he's, I think he's one of those playmakers.
When I look back at last season, I saw the ups and downs of the season. And the biggest down had to be the second half of the Shamokin game after the injury, and then trying to get comfortable with a different quarterback, a different cadence, and a different style quarterback. Ernie was not the same style quarterback, so they had to kind of change the offense a little bit. And it really showed in the Milton game that ended the regular season, where it just looked like Shikellamy did not come out of the gate at all and just stayed in the locker room the entire game. And I'm not putting him down. It's just the way it was. Milton played very well. They went after the quarterback. They took advantage of everything that they thought was a Shikellamy weakness. And then in the following week, the game comes down to the last play of the game. As a matter of fact, I thought the Milton-Shikellamy game ended three times in the fourth quarter before it finally ended at the final gun, David.
Yeah, probably one of the best comeback games I've seen Shikellamy play, even though they lost. I was standing on the sidelines, and I really thought they were going to pull it out. But you know that again, I think that comes down to you got to have heart. You know, I forget what movie, but it was you got to have heart, and I think that's one of the things that Coach Tilford and his
Hoosiers.
Staff is installing.
No,
it wasn't Hoosiers. It was the replacements.
Oh, that's Gene, it. Replacements.
Gene Hackman
Gene
told
Hackman,
Kenno Reeves.
Right.
You gotta have, or told the reporter,
told
you gotta have heart. And don't question me on my movies.
I'm
Kevin,
sorry, right? I should know better.
But I think that's one of the things that Coach Tilford and his staff brings. And by the way, you know who took my job at Shikellamy, don't you?
I think so.
Todd Tilford.
I believe.
So he'll be teaching math for me next year there. So I'm gonna look for him.
One real quick question here too for you, Dave, before we have to go to the top of the hour. Have you ever seen two high school programs in this kind of proximity, two really good coaches, do a swap like we saw with Coach Tilford and Coach Wynn?
No, I haven't, and it's really interesting, and I'm looking forward to that Lewisburg-Shikellamy game at Bucknell Stadium. That should be, to quote Coach Lockoff a real dandy brook.
It'll be a dandy brook, and we'll see you at Christie in about a month or so. Dave, Doug, thank you so much. Best of Steve Jones Show coming up tomorrow.